Hello, Metal Gear fans. Hello, we're back, and welcome to another episode of course, this is your number one Metal Gear Solid fan podcast. This is the Patriot Cast. Very glad to be back. We've had a last 2 weeks have been very, what's the right word, guys? Tense.
Busy.
Very busy. That's a good word. And I think we've definitely established ourselves as, you know, a decent podcast, seeing that, you know, the second that news came out, we were there for you. So, with me today, of course, I have Jordan. Jordan, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm super fantastic. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Calvin, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And David, how are you doing?
I'm great, Andy.
All right, excellent. Everyone's great. Everyone's feeling nice and refreshed. Or is that just me? I don't know. But let's get into the show. Of course, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is officially out everywhere in the world. Everywhere. I have it. Calvin has it. David and Jordan don't have it right now. Both the guys have pre-ordered the games, but the mail service in their respective countries wasn't up to par, was it, guys? Hasn't arrived yet, has it?
It'll come.
It will come, definitely. It will come. So, but we do have it, and this week, because Peace Walker is such a huge game, what we're going to do is today we're just going to talk about the beginning of it, because Calvin's gotten up to chapter one. Whereabouts are you in chapter one, Calvin? Just tell me.
I'm on the way to Dr. Strangelove's lab.
Oh, right,
through
right,
the
right.
Forest.
Oh, that's like the very end of chapter one. Excellent. So you're nearly at chapter two, my friend. And so we're gonna talk about that. You know, just the beginning of the game, what we thought, because I've been making a huge list as I've been playing it, so I've got a lot of things to say, and we're going to be covering this game for the next month probably. So you know, we're really in no rush. One little bit of a news item, and I just went over this with the guys before we started recording. See, at this year's E3, we got three games from Kojima, two of which we already were aware of, and then of course the 3DS port of MGS3, and most people thought that was going to be the secret game that he's talking about, but apparently that's not. Certain interviews have popped up saying, with Kojima saying, that he hasn't actually announced the very secret, industry-changing, you know, holy game that he's working on. Apparently it was almost ready to be previewed at E3, but they have to hold it back until the Tokyo Game Shows, and these sources say that apparently the game is going to be so big it's going to blow Rising and everything else at the show out of the water, which is very interesting. What do you guys think this is going to be? Jordan, what do you think this mystery game is going to be?
Oh, do we have any hints or clues at all?
No. He's been meeting with Square Enix. I'm not really sure what. Maybe that's got something to do with it, but yeah, I have a feeling it might be Kojima traditional IP, you know, his own kind of thing. First of all, do you guys think this is going to be, Jordan, do you think this is going to be a brand new game, brand new IP, brand new series, or sequel to Zone of the Enders, or Snatcher, or Police Knot, or something like that?
I was hoping you're going to ask that. I think it would be really great if it was a brand new IP. Mm-hmm. It seems somewhat unlikely, but maybe Zone of the Enders could be interesting again.
Right, right. Excellent. David, what are your thoughts on this?
The only other thing I heard is that, as you said, they were nearly had it ready for E3, but it's been said that they have, with the Kojima Productions and Square Enix together, have made the longest, most stylish cutscene ever made. That's a quote there for you. It's got to be. I don't think it's going to be a new series. Kojima really doesn't like. He sort of stays with the same things over and over and over again. It's going to be something we've seen before.
Right, right. So you're saying it's going to be something we've seen before? Okay, yes. Excellent. Calvin, what do you think about this?
I think actually it'll be something completely new, because if it is something with Square Enix, then I doubt it'll be Xenoblade Enders or Police Plus, because Kojima could just do that on his own. So I think it'll be something brand new.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, Calvin's going for something brand new. Really, you know, very hard to see what this is going to be at this point. I actually hope this isn't going to be Metal Gear, because we just had a Metal Gear game has just released, and we have two in the pipeline coming out. So the Metal Gear schedule will be full until at least 2012. So I hope it's something new. I want this to be something original, something really, really that can show people that Kojima isn't a one-trick horse. You know, he's not, but you know, most people see him as the MGS guy. So that would really be nice. And that's as much as we know so far. So look forward to the Tokyo Game Show in a couple of months, and the Patriot Cast will be doing as much coverage on that as E3, hopefully. Okay, so now let's move into Peace Walker, the Peace Walker discussion itself. The thing is, me and Calvin have the game. Unfortunately, David and Jordan haven't received their game in the post yet. Very unfortunate, but, you know, hopefully, do you guys think you'll receive this by next Saturday?
Yeah, I'll definitely have it on. I'll definitely have it tomorrow. I'll have it in a few hours.
All right, excellent, excellent, fantastic. It's just me and Calvin. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start talking about generally. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm going to vaguely touch upon the story, mainly concentrating on the controls, settings, how the game is presented, the visual appeal, and all of that kind of thing with it. So. So we've all played the game as the demo, be it the Tokyo Game Show demo or the English demo. We've all played it, right, guys?
Yeah.
At least in that form. So you will know vaguely. The controls haven't changed, at least as far as I'm aware. I've only played the Tokyo Game Show demo about twice, not a lot. So the controls really haven't changed. There are three types of controls, of course. There is the action, which is the Peace Walker controls. You use the square, triangle, X, and circle buttons to move your camera. There is the stealth, which is the portable ops controls, pretty much. And there is the Monster Hunter controls, which I haven't tried yet and don't care to try either. Apparently, they're not very good. So I've only tried the two. And the controls are very interesting because it's funny, we're going to start talking about Peace Walker on a negative note, but that's just unfortunately how it's going to be. I have a hard time with the controls, really hard time. So the thing is, this game was intended to be played with the shooter controls, you know, so to move the camera around, you can't really play it with the portable ops controls. It just doesn't work. And I've been talking to Jerry and stuff, and he says they're perfect. He really loves them. I don't know whether this is just me or something, but I just can't get used to them, and I blame the PSP. And in this podcast, you're going to be hearing that a lot. Trust me, I blame the PSP, and I'll validify every single one of my blames as we go along. So the thing is, this game... Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, everyone knows, originally, and Kojima said this, if he didn't want people to know this, he wouldn't have said this. This was originally meant to be Metal Gear Solid 5. So surely, correct me guys if I'm wrong, it's meant to be on the same level as the other numbered games in the series. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, right. So Kojima, of course, being awesome, has tried to maintain that on the same level. But the giant... piece of rope holding him back is the PlayStation Portable, which the game needs a second analog stick. It needs it, at least for someone playing it like me, because the thing is, the button controls using those four buttons as the camera just doesn't feel right. It didn't feel right for me. I started off the game and the standard controls aren't inverted, so you press triangle up, X down, square left, and circle right. And I've tried that out, and I was like, I guess that's fine. And then I got into my first battle, you know, into the first conflict. And then my hands went all over the place. I just, you know, I wanted to shoot up, I pointed down, and that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, I'm used to the analog stick, and it's really different. So then I inverted the controls, and that was a bit better. So for the first, like, 3 hours of the game, I kept them changing between the controls. And now I've kind of taught myself to get used to the inverted controls. So triangle is looking down, and X is looking up. And it really, for me, a lot of people probably won't have this learning curve because maybe I'm just stupid. It just won't, it will take a lot of people, I think, a lot of time to adjust to the controls, especially if you're coming off console games where first-person shooters, third-person games, most games these days use the analog stick as the right analog stick as the camera. And I just came off playing all these games, you know, for the last, I don't know, 4 years I've been playing them like this. And so it's a huge, huge, it gimps it. That's how I'm describing it. It limits the game. What do you guys think? Jordan, what was your take on the controls? You played the demo.
Well, I'm judging this on the Japanese demo. Yes. I remember, I normally play the games like in stealth mode, you could say.
Yes.
I don't ever plan to be using the other... what exactly are they? Their suits, or what do you call them? The different pack loadout things?
Well, the thing is, that's the demo part as well. In the game, you attach, you find camo here and there, and you attach a certain amount of weapons to each camo, so you don't really have the suits as in you had in the demo.
Oh, okay. I normally play the game sort of stealthily, and I like to creep around and hide behind things and normally use the tranquilizer and trying to get zero alert, zero kills normally. And I just found it really incredibly difficult using the face buttons, if we call them that, to control the camera, and I just found it just a massive frustration. I suppose part of the thing is the physical size of them and the fact that they are, you can consider them digital buttons instead of an analog stick, which you can move around very nimbly with the buttons. It's more like bang left, bang right, bang up. And
I know
it's the PSP. I mean, you know how I feel about the PSP. I hate the damn thing.
I know exactly what you mean in terms of, for example, this isn't a spoiler, you sniper in this game. Funny that, you know, you sniper in all the other games.
Sounds awful.
And that's the thing, you know, like I'm snipering from a long distance and there's like six guys snipering at me at the same time. And if I was playing any of the other MGS games with the analog stick, boom, 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 you know, glide the analog stick smoothly around, done. Here, I've got to press, I want to go up a bit, so I press X. Ooh, damn, I'm too high up. I press triangle down a bit more, square to go a bit left, because I can't press the buttons at the same time because it goes all over the place for me. So, you know, it was really difficult, and you will experience, there are bosses in this game, and they're big. That's all I'm going to say. Like, big, like, huge. Certain bosses are really big. And big bosses. And you've got to use, like, they're big. You guys know they're big, right? Or sometimes they're really high up. So you've got to be using your camera around loads. And I've gotten used to it now. But for certain, you know, the first couple of hours I really couldn't get used to. But that's just personally me. You know, if you can get used to it, great. Maybe they should have had like a little attachment that you put on the buttons. And that kind of makes it into an analog stick, if you know what I mean, guys. that could have worked. And I started...
Like screws around the PSP. Yeah.
I started looking on forums, seeing if there's any way to control my PSP with the DualShock controller. And all I got back was sarcasm. So, welcome to the internet, kids.
I do think that would be just an awesome idea. I mean, I don't think any handheld gaming system, like I use my iPhone and my iPad for gaming.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that you just can't have a game without physical buttons. And being honest, I mean, I never liked my PSP for playing games. It just felt weird to hold the screen. And so they should just make it. I mean, the damn thing's got Bluetooth, doesn't it? Or at least the modern
Bluetooth,
ones do.
Yes, yeah. I think
does the original one have it there?
I'm not sure. Go on.
Does the original PSP, like we have, does that have Bluetooth? I forget.
I think it's got Bluetooth or infrared. It definitely has wireless. I don't know. Well, I haven't played in years.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely being able to use a Bluetooth controller would be a hell of a lot better. And it doesn't cost them anything to add that to a game, so why not, really?
They have enabled it in Resistance. They had a Resistance game for the PSP, and you could use a DualShock with it. You know, plug it in.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, Kojima, do it. Do it now. But anyway. So I don't want to harp on the controls. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about good and then bad. And then good and then bad, you know. Wait up. And there are a lot more good features in this game than bad. Please, you know, please don't get the impression that I'm hating on it. It's just a lot of the good features are to do with things I don't want to talk about because it will spoil the game for the guys. So this is the negative. So we're going to get the negative things out of the way in this episode, guys. Kelvin, you've played the game. What was your take on the controls?
Well, I played Portable Ops quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. So I used those control methods.
Oh, you used the Portable Ops ones?
No, in the demo
begin with. Right.
But the day before, on Thursday, I spent like the whole day using the shooter controls because I'd heard they were better.
Mm.
So I was used to it by the time I got the game.
Mm.
But one thing, did you know there is actually a way to move the camera with the analog stick?
Do you have to rearrange the controls somehow?
No, it's if you use the portable ops controls, you can move it with the analog stick.
But if you use the portable ops controls, you can't really play the game the way it's meant to be played. If you know what I mean, you can't you can't fire properly and you can't move around and that kind of stuff. The thing is,
yeah.
You can definitely see Kojima intended to have the game played in that way. Another thing you said, and I talked to Jerry and he was saying the same, people are practicing and getting ready to get used to the controls before they play the game. That doesn't really sound right to me. It's like, you know, saying, oh, GTA 4 is coming out, I better practice for a couple of days, you know, so I can play the game properly. Surely you should just sit down, pick the game up and have fun with it, don't you guys think? David, what was your take on controls?
Yeah, the thing about it, I got my PSP after TGS and the demo came out.
Right.
I got a second-hand one. It does the job. The only games I have for it is PSN downloads and Metal Gear Solid games.
Right.
And the only game I've ever played fully on it is
Portable Ops. Of course.
And I played it through once, and I never want to look at it again. So
I think that's the verdict for most people, Dave. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, but so I am not really used to any set of controls. But I have to say, when I looked at the demo first, I remember thinking, "Wow, I love the controls."
Right. So
I think it's maybe because you guys are used to playing a certain way. I loved controlling the camera with the D-pad, you running and then you could turn it. It worked for me.
Right.
Suppose it's one of those things because I get really heavily invested in certain games. I play like Bad Company online,
right.
And then I learned the helicopter controls for Bad Company, the first one on PlayStation Online.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the second one came out, they changed the controls, and I've never been able to pick them up the same way as in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a personal thing, maybe.
I definitely think it is a personal thing. And, you know, people will find it easy and people will find it hard. Personally, I found it very, very... It was really weird. Like, it was as if, for me, it was as if, like... I can't even think of a good analogy, an equivalent for it. Like, you know, you're driving in a car, and instead of your wheels are slightly, they're not round, but they're more egg-shaped. Like, the car will still go, but it won't go quite as smooth.
This is an awesome analogy.
The car won't go quite as smooth, if you know, and that's really I didn't want to go all the way and say the wheels are square, because it's not that bad. Let's be honest. I mean, when I first started the game, I was so bad at the controls. I think that's my thing. I was just bad at the controls. I almost wish they utilized the old fixed camera angle like they did in the first three games. I don't know. It just seemed a lot easier, but you can't really do it. But let's talk about the positive. And the positive is the amazing visuals they managed to squeeze out of this elderly console. The visuals are on par with MGS 1 and 2. Two and 3, they're definitely on par with that. They surpass it in certain aspects, but of course, certain memory options and texture smoothing just isn't available on the PSP as it's available on the PS2. It's a really beautiful game. Very vibrant. The colors are all very vibrant. It's just very visually. It's very, very beautiful. Kelvin, how did you find the game visually?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic, and yeah, it's definitely on par 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of the background textures, at times, you know, were a bit iffy, but. Yeah, and the characters are definitely superb and all that.
Mm-hmm. And let's character-wise, Snake. Snake, he looks... Snake's character model, again, in certain aspects it looks better than the one from MGS3, but again, certain aspects it doesn't. In terms of detail, I think he's got more detail on his face than he did in MGS3, because they're using a hybrid of the MGS4... models and texture styles with the old ones. But I think Snake looks a bit scary because the thing is they didn't... because all the cutscenes are comic book-wise, and we'll get to that later, so they're Ashley Wood's art style. Then, and what that is they didn't rig Snake's face for movement and animation, and having just come off playing MGS3, where, you know, his face constantly moves, you know, as it does, should. His face doesn't move, so he'll be facing loads of people, you know, big metal gears, and, you know, he'll be in this loads, and he'll be in this huge battle, and his face expression will just stay the same all the way through. So it's really, really unsettling. Calvin, how did you find that?
I did. I'd have to kind of agree with you, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't that bad in the whole, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But
but the thing is, like, when he would talk a bit or, like, make grunting sounds where, you know, he has to open up his mouth and that kind of stuff, the camera doesn't kind of show his face. So you can definitely see them playing tricks here and there. So, you know, but you know, Snake does look very good. And I mean, getting back on the controls, they have done an amazing job trying to make this at least on par with MGS. So they definitely, you know, they definitely have tried to put as much of the MGS4 controls they could onto the PSP, but again, there just aren't as many buttons to work with. So really, I mean, again, this is all about routine and habit. So we're all used to playing MGS, the MGS games. Have you guys gotten used to the MGS4 controls, or do you still kind of have the first three games in the back of your head? Jordan, what do you prefer, or what are you used to now?
I got used to all the games, and I do find it a little bit weird because I have played all the games multiple times, and I sort of forget the differences between them until I'm actually playing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been fine with the different control schemes.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, MGS4's controls, they're not... I think the main difference in them is the shooting, right? You know, you use L1
yes,
to go
so.
Into first-person mode, and you shoot with R2, you know, you still have, you know, L2 and R2 to bring up the menus, and you crawl down and all that kind of stuff. So it's still, they're still similar, but they have been enhanced.
How do you normally bring up the menus in this game, Peace Walker?
You do the start, like, to bring up map and stuff. If you want to bring up your items and weapons menu, for items you press left. For weapons, you press right, and then to choose between, you press square and circle to go right or left. Again, really, really unusual. It was unusual because, you know, you bring up a menu with, in most games, you bring start, left, right, analog stick left, right. You know, here you do the opposite. You press a directional button to bring up a menu, and then you press square and or circle to scroll around them. So they kind of have been flipped in a lot of the ways, which again took a while to get used to, but it wasn't really a major thing. But it does work well. I mean, the controls do work well, I think, when you get after you've played the game for about, well, at least for me, for a couple of hours. You get used to them, your subconsciousness takes over, you don't have to keep on telling your brain, oh, you press this button to do it now. So that does work. Overall, except for the camera and all that kind of stuff, I think Kojima has done he's done a very good job in trying to incorporate an MGS-style control sequence into the PSP. But, you know, he's working with what he has in this game. And quickly talking about, you know, Ashley Wood's art style, it's a lot better in this game than it was in Peace Walker. Peace Walker? Portable Ops. All these P's, right? So it's definitely a lot better. I think Shinkawa's incorporating bits here and there because, you know, faces look very Shinkawa-esque, or maybe Ashley Wood is just adopting his art style for this game. So that's, but still, you know, for me, for a traditional cutscene guy, it's still very unusual. But of course, we can all understand why they've done it. You know, space and limitation. But going back to, so you know, this was meant to be MGS5. So we're meant to treat it on the same grounds as the other games. But we're not meant to compare it to Portable Ops because that wasn't Kojima, that wasn't, you know, wasn't as good. But it's really hard because a lot of the times the game seemed like Portable Ops 2 to me. People are probably screaming, blasphemy, turning off the iPod, shoving it in the bin, burning it, or just deleting the podcast, you know, not being that extreme. A lot of the times, especially throughout the first act of the game, it felt like Portable Ops, but better. It really didn't feel on the same level as MGS4, or for that matter, any of the other MGS games. Kevin, did you ever get that kind of feeling?
No, I thought it was good. I did think it was on par with his good graphics, good story, you know.
Right. But did you think it was on par with MGS4?
MGS4, maybe not. Not so much.
Right, yeah, and...
But still good.
Yeah, and still the really thing good. Is, I was really bummed out the first time, like the first act, and I'll say this now, and you guys will disagree with me as well, the first act of the game, because I'm not sure how many game acts the game has, maybe five, I'm on the fourth one now, maybe it's five, but the first act, they call it chapters, is very weak compared to the rest of the game. And when I played through that first chapter, I was really, you know, I was really like, really? That's it? That's all we're going to get? The story introduces a bunch of characters which are really tools in order to progress a certain part of the game's inventory system for Snake. And I'm in the fourth chapter now, and I still haven't seen those characters return. They're just in the background now, doing their own thing. And we got a lot of that in the first act. The story was, you know, they set up the story, but you really didn't... It kind of felt like Snake's fan fiction adventure, if you guys know what I mean. Like, the guys would make fan fiction movies, and they would make a completely standalone story for Snake, because they don't want to, you know, change things up. They don't want Revolver Ocelot to end up marrying someone or that kind of stuff. They really want, like, it's basically Snake, but in a completely different story, which won't affect anything else. And that first chapter really felt like that. Just what's going on here? The only guy I know from the Metal Gear games is Snake and Miller, but he's not really in there. Kevin, did you get something like that?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit disappointing the way it was a completely new cast of characters.
You know what I mean? That, like, what's his name? Chico and Amanda, the two Costa Rican brother and sister. Yeah, like,
yeah.
You don't. I'm not spoiling, but I'm quite far into the game now, and you don't see them. I haven't seen them. They're just there as part of your. They're on the big plant, just you know, part of. She's in cooking or something, and he's in intel. That's it. They're just not utilizing the character. So, I was really bummed down on that. I was like, what's going on here? And then we get Miller, like they call him Kaz, like Master Miller, and I was like, cool, we're gonna see how they meet. When the game starts off and he's already there and he's like, Snake, we've got to do this thing here, right? And Snake's like, yeah, right. I'm like, how is he working for Snake? Are you going to explain this? Maybe the game will explain it later on. But that was the very beginning of the game. It felt for me like you were just taken and dropped into some dude's story. There wasn't really a clear introduction. Like, there was a couple of paragraphs of text in the beginning. Basically saying, you know, Snake infiltrated this and killed the boss to save the world. Da, 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 da. And then it went to, you know, Snake walking in. It was a TGS demo, you know, just walking in the rain and all that kind of stuff. So, but then, again, getting back to the positive, once Otacon's dad came in there, it felt like Metal Gear for me. It, you know, he was there and... What's the guy's name? It escapes me for a second. The guy who does the voice for Otacon. Guys, help me out here.
Christopher Randall.
Christopher Randall. That's it. Amazing job. On par with David Hayter. He's doing Otacon's voice, but he's kind of doing a more... what's the right word to explain it? It's Otacon, but it's as if Otacon was more of a hustler. I don't really know how to explain it. He's more of a pimp. Kind of in a weird, at least that's how I see it. He like and you,
I was just wondering what hustler meant in UK English, and I was thinking, is it the same thing?
I don't want to say it's like, hey Snake, hey check out this woman here. Oh yeah, I'm gonna slap over my rhythm stick. No, it's not like that. He's more of a kind of, he's not as shy as Otacon in a way. He still is, but he definitely. What I'm saying is, he gives him a much. It's a similar character. You can still tell who this is, who's related to, but he has a slightly different edge, which was really amazing. And it's at the end of Act 1, and once I got to the end of Act 1, it felt like Metal Gear for me again. Snake and Otacon, and they kind of do, like, they break the fourth wall a bit, saying here's like, Otacon's like, hey, this feels familiar somehow. Snake's like, it's deja vu, right? And that kind of stuff. So it's really great. And then it just progresses, and it's great. You don't really see Huey again throughout, but he's supporting you through codec and he's giving you intel. He is Otacon, you know, he's building stuff for you. He's just generally helping you out. So that was great to see. What I didn't know is he was born, like his legs didn't work from birth, which, I mean, I think we were talking about this in a couple of episodes back, like it gives you a really different perspective, like to Otacon's story, if you guys know what I mean. Like, you know, when he was talking about, oh, my dad, and then I had an affair with my stepmom and that kind of stuff. And I can just imagine him banging his stepmom and his poor dad is just like, you know, trying to get up the stairs and that kind of stuff. He's a bad man, Otacon, you know. I don't. But
I always found that thing a bit hard to get my mind over, that, you know, I don't see Otacon as very successful with the ladies, and then to... You know, pretty much cheat on an own family member, and yeah, all that stuff was just a bit crazy for me. And then Emma and the swimming pool and the fear of water, and yeah, it was a bit crazy for me.
Very, very Kojima, wasn't it? But it's great seeing Huey there. He was probably one of my favorite characters in the game. But the thing is, you do have these characters that come and go, and you don't really see again. At least I haven't seen them so far. They're just tools that are used in the story here and there. And again, the comic books, like. The comic book style of Ashley Wood, it's, you know, like certain characters look similar to each other, and I'm like, hold on, who's he? Is he the dude with the red arm, or is he the dude without the red arm? Oh, right, I get it. So, you know, you do get, because it's black and white, and there isn't really any distinction between the colors and that kind of stuff. But you know, once you get to the second act, the game for me picks up dramatically. It gets a lot better, and also by the time you've gotten used to the controls, you know how to play the game a bit more. So from the second act, without spoiling things for you guys, the story really does heat up. It gets better. Gameplay gets better. Because we've all played through the demo. And then in the demo, you have the tank battle. You all guys are familiar with the tank battle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That, for me, was, again, very annoying. I was like, really? A tank, and you're fighting a tank, and you don't really have, like, a rocket launcher, and you've got to just shoot it, and you're being...
Grenades.
And, you know, these guys are shooting you from every angle, and you've got to shoot the tank, and the tank is shooting you. It was very frustrating, because everyone's against you, and you're like, how do I take this thing out? And you're like, oh, you should shoot the canister on it, and that kind of stuff. So it was very annoying. And then the second boss battle was similar. It was another tank. It's a bit of a spoiler there. So I was like, really? That's going to be the bosses, right? So in MGS1, we've had all these, like, mystery. And here it's going to be, oh, this is tank number 13. Yeah, you've got to shoot the canister on the top left of its barrel.
Now there's two tanks at once. Oh, no.
It just seems like such a NES kind of thing where it's just palette swap.
Well, thanks for spoiling that. So it's all tanks. Yeah, but, thanks for the spoiler.
No. Well, that's the thing. It's not tanks. Only the first two are tanks. And once you get past the mundaneness of the tanks, you actually get decent bosses. And that's what I'm saying. The bosses are big. Like, big. Like, you've got to go underneath one of them. That's how big it is. And stay there for a while. Donnie, unfortunately, couldn't make it on the show. But he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, Donnie, that thumb hurts by the end, I'm telling you, yeah. So bosses do get... They become a lot better. There is, of course, a strategy to beating them. And they will take you a while, guys. The bosses do... Some of them, maybe me just being a bad... They take between 10 and 20 minutes to beat. This isn't like your... And I think there's just a process of a certain... You've got to work out a certain tactic. It's not like with Psycho Mantis or some of the bosses where you can just... Oh, okay, you just got to keep doing this and this and this. And you can literally beat them within 2 minutes or even less than that. These bosses, even if you know how to fight them, it will still take a while to fight, to beat them. So bosses did get a lot better after, again, game gets a lot better after the first chapter. So that's something for you guys to look forward to when you're going to be playing it. Let's talk about the base, the mother base. This is very different from Metal Gear. We've had something like this in Portable Ops. It wasn't done very well. At least I didn't think it was done very well. I am very glad to say that you don't have to use the damn soldiers with a fraction of a life bar anymore. You can play the game happily on your own as Snake all the way throughout. And a lot of the times it doesn't let you play as anyone else. In the main missions you have to play as Snake, which I'm really happy for. You don't have to drag the unconscious soldiers into the back of a truck and do seedy things with them. No. This time...
And torture them to make them on your side.
This time... You happily knock them out and put a balloon in them and they fly up into space. And that balloon is something else because it can go through solid walls with the person. And
do you have any David Bowie to play?
No.
Ground control to Major Tom. You're really... Yeah,
keep going. No, but that was really... But that's Kevin. What did you think about, you know, this system of capturing people?
I thought it was much better than Portable Ops. I hated that, dragging him to the truck. But there is one thing. How can you increase the number of Fultons you bring with you on a mission? Because I've faced a few missions where I run out of them. Is there any way to increase the number you bring with you? Because I can't find.
You'll develop. It'll become better. You'll be able to do 10, and then 20. So basically, like you've got to recruit your people, which is another thing. So there you go, Jordan. I'm playing it. Are you happy?
Thank excellent. You.
But it is, it's very addictive, it's almost Pokemon-esque, like, because it's very easy. Yeah, it's very easy, like, you know, you knock a guard out, and it forces you to play the game not killing people, unless you really have to. As you were saying, Jordan, you know, stealth-wise, it forces you to knock them out or tranquilize them, and then you just come up to them, you press up, and they fly off into the sky. Into the helicopter, And well, that's the thing, is that they are, it's a mixture of RPG, real-time strategy, Pokemon. It's a mixture of different genres, because so what happens is you get the guys and then you recruit them, and then you it's separated into different classes. There is the combat one, which basically earns you money. Then there's the research and development, which will make you new weapons, cooking to keep the rest of the classes happy and their morale high so they can work, medical to heal the people that are fighting. There is like the intel, which will bring you in items when you need them and that kind of stuff. So that's very, they utilize that in the game very well.
Can I ask, does this come along in the first part of the game?
It comes along, come along very early, but they don't really, you're kind of bombarded with it, and a lot of reviewers have been saying that they don't really explain it to you well. You really, like, you do one mission and then you keep on getting new classes and you're like, what do I do here? And that kind of stuff. But once you do it a couple of times again, once you get used to the game and you get the flow of the game, it really becomes a lot better. I guess it's just, you know, we're so used to the traditional MGS formula. This is really just a bit of a learning curve in terms of, you know, learning new things and new ways of controlling it. And, you know, they are very good. It's a lot better than Portable Ops.
Well, I'd love to hear from David and Calvin how they feel about this kind of gameplay, because I remember being, you know, I found out about it through reviews and I thought it was quite interesting, this Mother Base concept. And being honest, in Portable Ops, I hated having to assign teams and to unlock certain things you needed an A rank and an S rank or whatever, and that was how you get the stealth camo in that game. You had to invent it, and to do that you had to have one of the characters, is it Sokolov, I think? Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. But I do enjoy that whole building secret military base things, and I thought it was kind of interesting sounding. I don't know how much I'll like it when I have to do it. David and Calvin, what do you guys think about
David,
it?
David, what do you think?
To be honest, I still love the whole situation of, you know, one man stealth mission. It's not believable, but that's what I really like. The whole building teams and secret bases. I'm gonna try and play this game avoiding as much as that as possible.
Dave, that's a fantastic point. Hold on to that. I'll talk about that. See, so much to talk about. Kevin, how are you finding the system so far?
I think it's really good, inventing new weapons and medics and intel. But I have one problem, which may be solved later in the game. All the people I capture have really bad stats. It's all like C. C is the highest I've gotten.
Most of them do, but they kind of like, it's like Pokemon. They build them up. They level up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Again, getting back to what David was saying, level up, army, big headquarters. You know, the thing I can understand, it's going from the story. Big Boss is building up Outer Heaven. They've actually started calling it Outer Heaven now. He's building up Outer Heaven. He's got his own private military. He's sending people out. So it's more of like he's a Don. Not a mafia Don, but, you know, he's the boss. Again, it's time for the Godfather impression. The Big Boss. I'm going to send out that man over there in the Metal Gear. But you guys, like, so I can understand why that goes into the story, but I was so completely agree with Dave. Metal Gear, for me and for most people, and that's why people are complaining, it's not stealth, Rising. It's one dude, and he's brought into a hostile environment in a submarine, a big parachute, a big bungee, or a truck in the back of a truck, whatever. Yeah. And it's one man. And he's going through hell, but you're alone. And that's the great feeling of, you know, you're exploring this and you're seeing it. It's your typical fish out of water scenario, which is used in a lot of movies. For example, Luke Skywalker or Marty McFly, where he doesn't know what's going on. And the player or the audience is learning with the snake, and it's worked fantastically in all of the games. And that was one of the reasons why Kojima brought in Raiden. You know, he wanted a fresh outlook on Snake and on the Metal Gear universe, which was a genius idea, and it's worked. But in here, you know, everyone's calling you the boss. Oh, what do you want to do now? What do you want to do here? And that really, for me, the first couple of hours, my negative hours of the game, I was like, this isn't Metal Gear. This is Monster Hunter.
What about the end of
Yeah, go on.
What about the end of Portal Blow Ops when he suddenly, like, everyone's congratulating him? Is it Gene, the main boss? He's so well known that he doesn't even have his own Wikipedia page, the boss from Portal Blow Ops. You know, at the end of the game, they're like, wow, Snake, you managed to make people work for you, because I know in the past you've always worked by yourself, but now you're a team leader. Because at the end, he's like, shoot that thing before it flies away. Yes, boss. And that makes him like a general or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but again, you know, Portable Ops isn't the main game, but this is meant to be MGS5, so I so see what you're doing, and that takes it out. And the thing is, you've got to learn to accept that this isn't your traditional Metal Gear, and even calling, and I'm even calling MGS4 a traditional Metal Gear, because it sticks the same codes, you know, of the previous games of the one dude. I mean, sure, you've got people here and there, and you fight, but you're still within the infidels, and you can choose sides, but you don't have the building your own army, which really, because after you finish every single mission, you know, you go back to the mother base. You don't have to, but if you want to progress through the game, you have to go back to the mother base and develop your weapons, get the items. And that's the other thing, is you can only carry a maximum of, at least in the camos I have right now, of 2 guns and about 4 or 5 grenades and smaller weapons, which I found really frustrating, because being used to, you know, with the other games, when you get to a certain...
Yeah, see, I actually prefer that kind of style. I actually quite like in realistic situations, and I'd like to hear what the rest of you guys think.
David?
Yes?
Do you prefer that style of, you know, having only 2 weapons and having to choose, or do you prefer the classic style where, as you know, you get the weapons and by the end you have a huge arsenal which you can choose?
No, I prefer just having 2. Metal Gear Solid 4 got a bit easy when you had so many
when
weapons.
You were like a nuclear missile and a rail gun and a freaking...
Yeah, like, yeah. I'd rather just pick... You know, a trank and maybe then a carbine or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I tell you, that monkey's got... He's, how does that work? I don't know. Anyway, but okay, Calvin, what do you prefer?
I don't know. The two gun system is quite good. But Jordan, you said that you liked it with only 2. You won't win against the boss battles. You will not like that.
That's the thing. So you can get 2. So for example, for most of the game, when you're not facing a boss, what I do is I've got a tranquilizer so I can capture my Pokemon, and I've got a sniper rifle so I can kill the ones that are too far for me to capture, quite frankly. And then, of course, you get the ones that puts them to sleep and that kind of stuff. So those are my 2. That's it. I mean, you know, you can't choose a rocket launcher and stuff. But then for boss battles, once you get the rocket launcher, and it makes the game so much easier and better, because it's not just, oh, you're crap at this game, you think it's hard. No, it's just frustrating having to shoot a tank with a machine gun for like half an hour and wait until these life bars go down. Once you get the LAW, I think it's called, once you get it, and it's kind of like a small rocket launcher thing, it makes a game a lot more easier. So what I do is for boss battles, I have the rocket launcher and I have a machine gun just to take the guys around it. Because often you would have not just the main big boss, the big, you know, mechanized weapon boss, you will also have grunts around and people shooting at you as well, which makes it a lot more challenging as well. So, you know, you take out the grunts with the machine gun and then you use the big missile on the boss. But it does force you to, you know, think about, you know, how you're going to play the game, what weapons you're going to choose. So it's a lot more strategic in that way. So you've got 4 rations and then you run out of them and you run out of ammo. So, for example, you have a boss and you've got to shoot it in the face. So you shoot it 3 times and it removes 1 life bar. And there are a total of about 8 small bars. And, you know, in your rocket launcher, you can only have a maximum of 6 rockets. And so what do? You get your intel team to drop you in some swag. And the intel team drops you in the swag. And then, you know, and that's how you work it. So it forces you to build up your intel team to actually, you know, make you new stuff so they actually have things to drop you. So, that's very interesting and a very good game mechanic.
So does that happen all the way throughout the game? Hmm. That you can sort of, can you request things, or does it just happen randomly?
What's, It will give you a recovery item and the ammo for your weapons and that kind of stuff. Now, that's another interesting mechanic. But overall, let's wrap this show up. This is my main beef with the game. And this is going to be harsh. I see absolutely no reason for this game to be on the PlayStation Portable. Not one. Not one. It's, you know, people, something like many portable games like, you know, Pokemon. Oh yeah, I understand. It's, you can carry around with you anywhere, but I cannot see one reason why this game could not have been on a PlayStation 3. And please give me a reason why you think, and I will debate why that's, you know, that's not valid enough. Because for starters, you know, it limits the game through controls, through graphics, through audio. It limits the game in everything. You know, the game is still great. You know, Kojima's tried so hard to squeeze the life out of the elderly, dying, gimped system. But, you can only squeeze it so much. And he squeezed it to the full. This is the best game you're going to get. Game you're going to get for the PSP. End of. In everything. And this is the limit of the PSP. This is the full limit. You're not going to be able to suck out anything else out of it. And
you can only squeeze it so much before you throttle it to death.
Unfortunately, the limit isn't as good as its predecessor. It's not as good as MGS4. I'm not comparing it, fine. I'm not going to compare it. You should be comparing it to MGS4 because it's the next logical sequel. But, you know, it'll be impossible because MGS4 surpasses it in everything. But the PSP just limits it in everything. You can't play this game as a portable game where, on, you know, people will say, well, this is portable, you know, you can take it with you, you can pick it up and go, and, you know, the way people are saying, you know, you're on a train ride, you're in a car. All of the portable games, you know, you play them for 5 minutes, 10, maybe 20 minutes, depending on how much time you have. Portable, it's for travel. So, but this is still Metal Gear. This will still have long cutscenes. They're not MGS4 length. The beginning cutscene's pretty long. You know, the cutscenes will take 10 minutes. And it's not like you can pause them. And I mean, you can turn off, you can put your PSP on standby, but that kills off all the data you've installed on the memory stick and that kind of stuff. You can put it on standby, but, you know, you can't pause a cutscene. All you can do is skip it. You know, you can't. The thing that annoyed me is, so you would have a mission, and each mission would have about 5 different levels in it. You have to progress through. And if you get killed on that level, you've got to start the mission all over again. So it's really not portably very proficient for, you know, picking it up on the go, because you've got to remember what you're doing. You can't just hop into it. It's not like Patapon or something. Oh, I'm going to go in this level. You've got to remember what you are doing in this game, you know, in order to progress. You've got to remember who you've knocked out, and they might wake up soon. You've got to remember what happened there, who's coming there. So you've really got to be thinking, this is a Metal Gear game after all. But unfortunately, it's limited. It's as if Huey, Otacon's dad, you know, the PSP broke the game's legs. It could have been so much more on the PS3, and that's just such a fanboy thing to say, but now that I've played it, I think I have every right to say that opinion, because it would have been so much more on the PS3. Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, I really think I have to wait until I actually own the thing, although I've always felt this way about it, and I don't want it to seem like an annoying little whiner who complains about things I haven't even had yet, so I'll wait until I've got it. Calvin, what did you think about it?
I think it's good that you could carry it around everywhere, but I don't see much of a need for it to be on the PSP. But I bet I can tell you why, because you put it on the PSP.
Of course, and I bet I know your reason, but tell it.
Oh, let's think. Metal Gear, big in Japan. PSP,
the green,
together,
the
big
green.
In Japan.
Or what's Japanese
exactly.
currency? Purple,
in Japan.
Pink, I don't know. The pink. It's money. I can understand what they did. In 2000, this game began development after MGS4. 2008, by that time, I'm sure Sony, by that time, you know, they were developing the PSP Go. They tried to reinvigorate the dying console instead of just making a new one, like Nintendo have done now, you know, and they launched it exactly the same time. And Nintendo has never been one about technical innovation, let's say that. So, you know, they decided to bring back life into the old cow. I don't know why. And they thought to themselves, okay, so we've had a lot of bad games for the PSP, but let's do something hardcore, something that people really like. Metal Gear, yeah, all right. You know, it's been a loyal to the brand, at least until then, for a long time. Okay, Metal Gear. Phone up Konami. Konami's like, yeah, great. We have now other franchises that make money, judging by the E3 conference. So, you know, they phone up, they have, and Kojima says, and Kojima's like, but it's, you know, I don't know what he said, but it's all about the money. You can see that it's a smart marketing move on their part, because of course people with PSPs are going to get it, and people are going to get PSPs to play it. But the thing is, I think most of the people are going to get what Dave did, is just get old PSPs, and it's going to bring Sony,
so they don't make any more money.
Sony absolutely no revenue. They'll just go to eBay, go to whatever, buy an old PSP. That's it. So,
well, it's something quite interesting. Out of all my friends who got PlayStation 3s, almost all of us got secondhand ones. I got my one secondhand, and I would have rather have bought one and support, you know, help Sony out, although they do still lose money on them, especially when I got it, so they still would have lost money. Maybe they actually want me to have a secondhand one when I'm still buying new games. But all the people that are going to buy secondhand ones, I don't really see that the greed thing will work for them anymore. I think maybe they think it might, but I don't think they're really going to get as many new console sales. And I just wanted to ask Kelvin, do you have any magical Apple devices? You know, the things that Andrew and I like so much?
Well, I have an iPod, but I don't have an iPod yet.
Do you have an iPod Touch?
iPod Touch, second gen.
Do either of you guys think this game could have ever worked on a touchscreen? Like an iPod?
No.
Definitely not?
It was...
Okay.
Not a chance.
Something more basic like the original Metal Gear, or Metal Gear 2, or Ghost Babel. Perfectly. That would have worked very well on there. I think the thing is, you know, they might just put it off with MGS3 on the DS because it has a second screen where you can put stuff in. You know, it was horrible enough to see them trying to squeeze everything into the PSP iPhone. It wasn't made for a game of that. If they will ever bring a Metal Gear 2, the iPad or the iPhone, and I hope they do. I really do. A decent one, not Metal Gear Touch. I hope they, you know... They will definitely have to think around the controls, and they will have to strip it down. They will have to strip it down because Metal Gear is a button game. You've got to use the buttons. Yeah, unless you want to have a screen full of virtual buttons on there, which... I definitely would like to see them on the Metal Gear on the iPhone. That's just it. Then please, this is still the best game you're ever going to play in a PSP. And that's not opinion, that's fact, guys. That's fact. And, you know, the rest of the gaming industry is saying that's fact. You know, it's there, you've got God of War, it's a good game as well, but Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is the best game you're going to see on PSP. And I think what Sony really wanted to do is they wanted to make Peace Walker maybe an exclusive to the PSP Go, a download only, but I think, you know, Konami just couldn't do that, because, come on, that would just be killing people. And...
That's evil, you know.
Evil. Maybe Kojima specifically let slip that kind of, you know, this was meant to be Metal Gear 5 to get more attention, you know, marketing PR kind of thing. But overall, this is a great game for the PSP. This is fantastic. This is the best game you're going to play. You're going to have a lot of fun, especially in the later part of the game, after you get used to the controls, after you get used to the difference, because this is Metal Gear, but it's very different. It's not your traditional one man going to the army. And a lot of people like me are going to have a hard time getting used to it being really hardcore old Metal Gear fans. They're going to have a hard time getting used to it. And I had a hard time getting used to Snake getting old. So, you know, I'm going to have a very hard time getting used to this. But after you do get used to it, and after you learn to accept this, you will have a lot of fun with it. But unfortunately, this... could have been so much more on the PS3 in every single possible way. Every single possible way it could have been more. And that's really all I can say. And I think as we go through in the next month talking about this game, we'll see why, you know, every single one of these aspects could have been more on there. Because, I mean, they're bringing in new gameplay mechanics like you know, the base and all that stuff, but they're taking things out. They're taking major things out that are established in Metal Gear. And I don't mean like, you know, you can't crawl or you can't move on the side of the wall while leaning against it and that kind of stuff. You know, they're taking out things in MGS 3, the camo, they're taking loads of things from Metal Gear Solid 4, and so they did have to take a lot of things out. And I think on that note, we're going to end this long and miserable Patriot cast.
Hey, I have to say, I mean, I've always been the one that's always kind of never really enjoyed Peace Walker. I've always been the only guy in the world that's more interested in Rising. Everyone knows that, that listens to this. But I have to say, I'm actually quite hopeful, and I'm really looking forward to getting it. I can't wait till Monday morning at work. I get my games to my work.
I mean, again, yeah.
And as much as we've all complained about it and how I think I'm not going to like a lot of things, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the elements. I like the idea of a more sort of Pokemon, Monster Hunter, capturing things in stealth. And I like this idea of the Mother Base. I just think it sounds quite interesting. And it's, I can't wait till Monday morning.
You know me well enough. Don't let me discourage you from it. Make up your own opinion. It's a fantastic game. It's just different. That's all it is. And we're going to be doing a much happier Patriot cast about this game within the next couple of weeks or so. You know, once you get the game, once Dave gets the game, once we get more people in, we're going to be talking about it once we've completed the story, because I still don't know what the story fully is. You know, we still haven't had the big conclusion. It's still very fascinating finding out more about Big Boss and that kind of stuff. I want to know, well, where did Miller come from, because he's just there. I want to know his backstory a bit more. I want to see more of Huey as well. But I still have these moments of excitement. You know, I wake up in the morning, put my PSP in, and, you know, turn it on, all that kind of stuff. So I did get a feeling of, my God, I'm playing the next Metal Gear game. So it was great. It is great. Just learn to adjust to it, guys. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. Once again, thank you very much for listening to this show. Please follow us on Twitter, YouTube, rate us on iTunes. Thank you for all those that have rated us. Please rate us some more to bump us up. Send us all your feedback, questions. Please tell us, what do you think about Peace Walker? I'll be very interested to know and read it out on the show. Please tell us what you think about it. It's so much more to talk about, but we're so over the time limit as it is already. I was going to, you know, we've had the Kojima signing today and yesterday, recording this on Saturday. Apparently the HMV signing was not very good. There was a lot of manhandling and things just, you know, people got cut off and people couldn't sign things. So a lot of very disappointed fans. We'll talk about that next week, of that kind of stuff. So thank you, Jordan, for being here as always. Thank you, Calvin, for being here. Thank you to Dave, who's left us, although that sounds really weird. You know, he had to go. So
rest in peace.
Peace, Walker. So anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back very soon to talk more Peace Walker, and we'll see you guys next time.